Let's stand to our feet this evening. I just want to honor the Lord tonight as we dive into His Word. I think a lot of times we're too casual in our faith. And I don't think God wants us to be formal, but He wants us to be honorable in our faith. And so I just want us to come in tonight and just let this evening be an hour of worship as we come in and we just study His Word and just let Him speak to us and let it just begin to mold and shape us. So let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Paul, you want to lead us tonight? Amen. You hold me seated, turning your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be bouncing back over into Mark 6 where we were Sunday morning and last Wednesday night also. You say, well, wait a minute, brother, we were in Luke, but it was the same story that we see in Mark 6. And last Wednesday night we talked about that Jesus was enough. You know, I love looking at the way we bounce back and forth with stuff is God has He has saved us, redeemed us, placed us back in a place as we will read tonight as we live in His light to where we are living back in original intent. The word, I like the Passion Translation, He's restored us to innocence again. And we look at that, how God's done this in our lives. And with that, He's called us and He's sent us out. He's given us authority. He's equipped us. He's done all of these things. And yet, when it comes down to it, it's all about Jesus, and Jesus is enough. You know, I think last week, Wednesday night, when I was talking, we were, you know, I said the title of the message was Jesus is Enough. But then by the time we were through, we had changed it to Upon Closer Inspection. Because upon closer inspection, when you look in my life, it's not that Sid's a good guy and all of this stuff, but it's like, wow, what an amazing Savior Christ is. And that when they look in us, they see Jesus. They don't see. I'm sorry, guys. I got a motion detector went off at KST, and that's my alarm thing. At the end of the day, when we're doing life and we're flourishing in life. As they look at our life, the initial response or the initial thing might be, wow, look at that person. They've got it going on, or they're blessed, or they're a good man or a good woman and all of that stuff. But upon closer inspection, the goodness that you see in us, the thing that, the difference that you see in us and another person in the world out there is Christ in us. The scripture says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I find that, awesome and humbling all in the same breath. That the world is, the word talks about in Romans that all of creation groans, for the manifestation of the sons of God. And what it's looking for is not that Seattle finally get his act together. but is that Sid will die enough that the resurrected Christ is what's living in him. And as that takes place and I begin to walk in newness of life, they don't see me, they see Christ in me and they see Christ through me. And that's the thing that's going to change the world. Anything that we can do in ourself, within ourself, is not enough. I'm a firm believer in works. I'm a firm believer. I believe James Christianity. You study the epistle that James wrote. And James is, man, you tell me about your faith, I'll show you my faith. You know, if somebody's out there and they're hungry, I'm going to feed them. If they're in need, I'm going to put a coat on their back. I'm going to give them shelter. Jesus said that if you do these things to the people, then you've done it to me. And so I'm real, real big on coming in and doing good works. But if all I do is good works, a philanthropist can do that. A philanthropist can feed the hungry. A philanthropist can build a house for somebody in Honduras. A philanthropist can come in and he can clothe the naked. He can do those things. And God calls us to do those things, but not let it end there, but let it go to where we bring something, yes, something tangible, but then we bring something supernatural beyond that. And that's the beautiful gospel that we preach of redemption and a restoration. And so tonight I want to kind of, marry these things and bring these things together. And in that we'll look in Mark 6 and in the scripture that we've been studying. But I want to read some stuff out of Colossians tonight to really, to encourage you and to just show you the beauty and the supremacy of Christ. Let's start in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 12. I want to start, and we probably need to do a study on Colossians. The theme of Colossians is heaven's hope. But we're going to come in and just pick a few verses out tonight, and then we'll slide in with those verses into the gospel. In verse 12 it says, your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. Now look at that one verse right there. He said, your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance. You know, we come in and I really believe that we're doing an injustice to the blood of Jesus and we're doing an injustice to the resurrection power of Jesus when we walk around and we've got this all shucks mentality that I'm just a poor little old sinner saved by grace and I'm not worthy for anything. Because I promise you, if that's your mentality, then you will, your sights and your aim will be on heaven and heaven alone. Because you'll come in and you'll say, I am not worthy to receive this. And so I'm just a poor old sinner saved by grace, and you'll never walk in the fullness of what God designed and intended you to be. And it's a false humility that is either pride or ignorance, one of the two, clothed in false humility. When we come in and we just got that all shucks, man, I'm just, you know, I'll tell you something, I am worthy, and you know why I am worthy? Because God made me worthy. This right here, the blood of Jesus, that blood that was spilled for me, for you, that's what made us worthy. And for us to come in and we say we're not worthy and all of this stuff, and I get it I'll just go ahead and say it and it probably offends some people, but that's okay. You know, getting in line, there's a long line of people I offend and all, but, to come in and just say, oh man, I'm not, you know, and all of this stuff, I think it's really born out of ignorance. Because the blood of Jesus Christ in its supremacy, the blood of Jesus Christ in its holiness, the blood of Jesus Christ in its righteousness, the blood of Jesus Christ in its power, it comes in and it makes you, by it being imputed into your life, it makes you worthy to walk in the light, to live in the light, and to receive all things that the Father has for you. And when we come in and we deny that and we poor mouth that, you know what we're doing? We are coming in and we are not giving the due honor and the due recognition, and that's weak. That's weak verbiage right there. We are not placing the significance on the blood of Jesus that we should. Because what you're doing is you're saying the blood of Jesus is not enough. And I want to tell you something, the blood of Jesus is more than enough. To cover everything, to wash away everything, to redeem everything, to make all things new again, to make all things innocent again, the blood of Jesus is enough. I don't care how jacked up you are. And what you're saying is your sin is big. The fact that you are a messed up individual is bigger than the blood of Jesus. And I got news for you, friend. There's nothing bigger than the blood of Jesus. And so when I come in and I pour mouth that I'm doing an injustice to the blood of Jesus Christ. And he comes in this text, and I love the beauty of this text. I'll try to remember which one I grabbed. And he says that your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. The only thing you got to do is live in the light. And what Paul, we've got this amazing inheritance. And the only prerequisite of that, Jesus paid it all. And there is one prerequisite in that, and it is simply by us living in the light. People don't want to live in the light, and they want to receive the inheritance. And he said that we receive this inheritance by living in the light. That's all you got to do. You hadn't got to come in and put your stamp and be this mighty man and this and this and this. I've just got to live in the light. I just said, my daughters have to do nothing, absolutely nothing other than live in relationship with me. And they get everything. They get my heart. They get my love. They get my protection. They get my provision. They get my inheritance. They get everything that I have simply. Nothing of it's earned. All they got to do is live in relationship. All they've got to do is live in relationship. We've got some. I got a good measure of this recently, not with my daughters, but with someone else that's very close to us, and it's a young lady, and she made some poor, stupid, dumb decisions, like all of us have. She's a good kid. She loves the Lord, but she just kind of went down the wrong path for a little while and got around some wrong people and made some stupid decisions and all that. And when I first, found out about it, I'm like, what the heck? Come on. You're better than that. Wanting to kind of jack her up a little bit and all of that stuff. And then she came and she spent some time with us over the holidays and was at the house and all of that. And you know what? I couldn't do nothing but love on that little girl. It was impossible for me to do. And here's the thing about it, Paul, is my heart felt no different toward her, even though she had had a short season, where she had made poor decisions. My heart felt no different toward her than it did 6 months ago before she started making poor decisions. And you know what Yahweh told me? He said, that's my heart toward you. He said, I'm giving you a feeling of what my heart is toward you. Because I'm like, man, would I feel different about her and all of this stuff and everything? I didn't. We had some conversations about the mistakes and all of that, and we ministered to her and all of those things like we should. If we're going to be spiritual parents, then we're going to minister to her and those things. But I want to tell you something. My heart didn't feel any different from her, toward her. Lori's heart didn't feel any different toward her. And the Father said, that's the way I am to you. That's the way I am to you. And we need to understand that as we come in and we look at this thing, that all of this is freely given to us, and all we have to do is live in relationship with Him. That's all we have to do. That's all my daughters have to do. If my daughters moved somewhere to a distant place and severed all ties with me and I lost communication with them and I had zero relationship with them, then it would be impossible for me to pour love and all of these things into their life because there would be a huge gap in relationship. It would not be there. But all they have to do is just live in relationship with me. And that's all you got to do, guys. That's why we think this thing, this whole Christian thing, I hear people talk about it all the time, and they're like, man, it's just so hard, and I just can't do it. And I'm like, really? I hear people talk about marriage like that. They come in, and they're like, man, it's just so hard, and all of this stuff. And I'm like, you ain't married to who I'm married to, because this ain't hard at all. This is easy. This is the easiest thing I've ever done, Paul. This is the easiest thing I've ever done. This is the easiest thing that I've ever done. The only thing that I have to do is live in His glorious light. You know, when it gets hard is when we try to come in and we do sin management. When we focus on sin management, that's hard. I did that for years and I failed miserably, brother. Because I had all this list of stuff that I knew I wasn't supposed to do. And I so focused on that list. And I said, man, I just, you know, and you know how many times I had a trail beat down to the altar. Because I'd come in, man, and I'd be in, and maybe some of you guys have lived there. I bet a lot of you have. Because I'd come in, even before I was saved, man, didn't nobody have to tell me what was right and wrong and sin and all that stuff. Man, I remember coming in and I'd be out with the boys on Friday and Saturday night, Adam. You know, and we'd be drinking and smoking weed and doing stupid stuff like that and everything and acting fools. And then, man, I'd come in to, before I wasn't even saved yet. And I'd come into church on Sunday morning and the Spirit of God would start dealing with me. And you know what, I'd be burning that altar up. And I'd be like, God, I'm sorry. I know it's wrong. I know I didn't need to do that. I'll do better, I promise. And you know what I do? I might do good for a week or two. You know what I'd do 3 weeks later? I'd be doing the same thing with the same jokers. And you know what I do? We similar path. And you know what I'd be doing back in on Sunday, that next Sunday morning when I was in church and the Spirit of God would get on me? I'd be down in the altar crying, being like, God, I'm sorry, I don't want to do it again. That was hard. But when I came in and I had true encounter with Jesus. Not that that wasn't real, that was real. The Spirit of God dealing with me was real. But when I rightly saw who Jesus was and said yes to Him and invited Him into my life, then from that point on it was easy. From that point on it was easy. From that point on it was not a labor. It was simply a thing of all I had to do was stay in relationship with Him. That's what I want to tell you guys tonight, is that God has so set this thing up that He is so pursuing you. All we've got to do is live in the light, and you know what's going to come out of that? His inheritance, His blessings, His love. And it's just living in His light. And so I look in this scripture, and I'm like, wow, man, this is beautiful. I'll be honest with y'all, man. I was spending some time in this afternoon, and I could have just laid on the floor for a few hours and just skipped coming and seeing y'all tonight and just, you know, just spent that time with Him. But I'm like, no, there's something powerful when we gather together. And also, I recognize my responsibility of coming. So here I am, and I'm loving it. I'm digging it. But it's that good. It's that good. We don't have to have this to experience Him, but I do believe there's things that we can only experience when we do this. I believe there's things I can only experience in my individual time with Him, and also believe that there are things I can only experience in my corporate time with Him when I'm gathered with all you guys. And so I come in and I look at this, and He said that, let me read that one more time. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. He has rescued us completely. I need to circle that one. I don't have that circle, but He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of His beloved Son. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled. And we have the release of redemption through His very blood. You You know what I'm doing when I drink? You know why I do this every time I'm in this house? Every time. I take communion every time I'm in this house. Every Sunday, every Wednesday. And you know what I'm doing? I'm not just drinking this and say this due in remembrance. I'm coming in and you know what I'm doing? I am celebrating and I am drinking redemption. Because it says we have redemption through His blood. And when I drink that, when this, I know it's grape juice. I know it's Welch's. But it represents the blood of Jesus. Jacob, every time this touches my lips, you know what I'm doing? I'm drinking redemption. I'm drinking redemption. I'm drinking renewness of life every time it touches my lips. That is the significance of the blood of Jesus, guys. I'm going to put this back in here so we don't all y'all be partaking of that. I've done been handling on and breathing on and all that stuff. But every bit of it. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled. And we have the release of redemption through His very blood. Cancel. You know what word cancel means? Free and clear. Free and clear. Free and clear. I got a letter this week and it said free and clear. I'm serious. When we own our own business. If y'all don't know, we own our own business and we started our own business in 2012. And it's manufacturing business and it took a while to get going. I mean, it's manufacturing's tough to get started in. And it took a few years and we put a bunch of money in up front on the business, so we were able to go a couple years, you know, and be good on all that. And it took several years to kind of get built up and get our customer base and all this stuff. And the last 3 years have been phenomenal. It's been fantastic. I mean, God's just blowing our minds at how good He is. But we had a year of 2016 when I couldn't pay my taxes. I couldn't pay my taxes. And I owed the IRS a bunch of money. And I got on a payment plan. It wasn't like I was trying to dodge nothing. I got on a payment plan with them and all of that stuff. But we're wanting to get a new commercial loan to buy our building because we've been doing owner financing and we're in the process of all that. But what the IRS did, because I owed them this money, they put a lien. They put a lien on us. And that lien says that I couldn't sell stuff and I couldn't borrow money because they had a vested interest on my possessions. That's what the sin curse was. The sin curse had a lien on you. Anybody know? Ain't y'all following me on this lane? None of y'all probably, hopefully none of y'all been in down that road. I've been down that road. They filed it at the courthouse. I get letters from lawyers all the time, all across the country, and says, we see that you had a federal tax lien filed against you, and so we want to help you out. You know, I get them all the time and everything. And I'm like, no, I'm good. We're on a payment plan. We've got it covered. I've been to the office and sat down with the IRS. That ain't no fun. You walk in, you feel like a criminal. And you're sitting there and they're looking at you and they're telling you, and I've had them tell me, I don't care if you stay in business or not. My job is to get the money. I've had them tell me that straight up. I don't care if y'all stay in business or not. My job is just to get the money. I'm like, boy, that makes me feel warm and fuzzy. But I want to tell you something, guys. This is jumping up in me right now. You know what the sin curse is on your life? It's a lien. And you can't do anything because of that lien that the sin curse has put on you. You can't walk in freedom. You can't buy and sell and move the way that you need to move. It shackles you in your life. Shackles you in your life. And the thing about it is it's legal and binding. It is legal and binding. And that sin curse was legal and binding. It was legal and binding. But thankfully, this year, I paid off all those back taxes that we owed. Got it all sent in, got it all covered and all of that stuff. Told the lady at the bank we're working on this loan and all that. Man, it's big. We're borrowing $500,000. It's a big loan on this. And, uh, And she said, well, everything looks great, but she said, we can't do anything about it as long as it leans on you. I don't care what your profit is. I don't care what your sales are. I don't care what your assets are. We can't do anything as long as this leans on you. You will never, ever, ever walk in freedom as long as the lean of the sin curse is on your life. I don't care if you get free of drugs. I don't care if you get free of alcohol. I don't care if you get free of jacked up relationships. I don't care what you do in life until you get the lean of the sin curse off of your life. You will never be able to function properly. Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Cindy said there's a misconception. This is for the podcast sake. And I'm being real personal tonight, aren't I? You know, people think bad of me when they listen to podcasts. My gosh, what kind of preacher y'all got? I got good news. Cindy said there's a misconception in the world out there that if I'm a good person and I do good things, then I'll be okay. For the last 3 years, I ain't missed a payment. I paid every one of my bills on time. I've been Johnny on the spot. We've been able to buy, do whatever we want to. But we still had a lien on us. And I don't care how good a person you are, as long as you got that lien on you. As long as you got that legal lien on you. And you can even come in and say, man, I paid it off. But you know what they need to see? An official letter. Absolutely. Not to mention penalties and interest. We'll go down that road. You know in Isaiah 61, when he says, I'll give you double for your trouble, you know what he's doing? He's saying he'll come back and he'll restore what the cankerworm took from you. I'll give you double for your trouble. And I can tell everybody, I paid it off. You know what they say? I need to see a letter. This week I got the letter. This week I got the letter. And it says, we have officially released you. Officially released you. I took a picture of it with my phone, sent it to Lori. She was down in Macon helping Jen. Her grandma died and she was down there. And I said, woo, free. And you know what I said? Free and clear. You know what my official letter is? That's my official letter. I can say I believe in God. I can say I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to do sin management. The word says the devils believe and tremble. But my official letter is when the blood of Jesus got applied to my life. When the blood of Jesus got splashed on me, Keith. When the blood of Jesus began to run down that brow. That's it. That's it. And now somebody can say, yeah, but you did this and you did that. Say, I got a letter right here. It is. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm going to break out old hymn on y'all. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Whew. And that's it. That's it. You know what it declares? Free and clear. The devil says, but oh, Shane Barclay, he did this. And the Lord said, free and clear. He got a letter. And it's wrote in my blood. And it says, I release him. I release him. I release him. Man, I done spilt it everywhere. It's all right. People are like, why you keep doing this? That's why I keep doing this. Why are you so passionate? That's why I'm so passionate. Why does that mean more than to me than anything else? The gospel of Jesus, that's why right there. Because I know what I was before Him and I know who I am now. I know the bondage that I was in. I look free. I looked free 6 months ago, but I had a lien on me. It was registered at the courthouse. Not now. Because I'm free and clear. Not now. Because you're free and clear. Not now. Because you're free and clear. You're free and clear, Ida. You're free and clear. You're free and clear. The world can say, what about this? I'm free and clear. Free and clear. Man, I believe we just need to have an altar call right now, maybe. I'm going to read verse 14 one more time. For in the Son, Jesus, He's enough. He's everything. That's one thing I love about Michael Kouliakos. Thank you for sending me those podcasts, brother. I love them. And you know why? Because he comes in and he said, Jesus is enough. It's all about Jesus and Jesus is enough. It's the thing I love about Francis Chan. He walked away from the mega church. He said, that ain't enough. He said, but Jesus is enough. He said, just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Because He's enough. For in the Son, all our sins are canceled. And we have the release of redemption through His very blood. Let me read a few more verses. He is the divine portrait, the true likeness of the invisible God, and the firstborn heir of all creation. The true likeness of the invisible God and the firstborn heir of all creation. For in Him was created the universe of things, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth. All that is seen and all that is unseen. Every seat of power, realm of government, principality, and authority. It all exists through Him and for His purpose. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in Him. Everything finds completion in Him. He is the head of His body, which is the church. And since He is the beginning and the firstborn heir in resurrection, He is the most exalted one, holding first place in everything. I like that. Holding first place in everything. For God is satisfied to have all His fullness dwelling in Christ. And by the blood of His cross, everything in heaven and earth is brought back to Himself. Back to its original intent. Restored to innocence again. I'll pick up another one. Sorry, Errol. We'll make a mess. When I drink this, you know what I'm drinking? Original intent. Original intent. Back to Adam. Before the fall. In the garden. In the cool. With Jesus. so close in proximity to him, I don't even have to hear his voice. I can hear him walking near me. Nothing. Back to its original intent. Restored to innocence again. He said, unless you come to me as little children, that's innocence. One of my biggest prayers is, God, just keep me pure. Keep my heart pure. Keep my heart pure. My hands are going to be that bad sometimes. I'm going to mess up sometimes, but keep my heart pure. You know how you keep your heart pure? It restores you to innocence. It restores you to innocence. It restores you to innocence. It restores you to childlike faith. The blood of Jesus. Even though you were once distant from him, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as the sin payment on your behalf, so that you would dwell in his presence. Good works and all of that stuff is the fruit of who we are. But you know what the intent of Jesus and the blood was? Not to set us up so we could do good works and all of that, ultimately, or even to come in and change the world. I believe that's the fruit of our relationship with him. But you know what the intent of his blood was? So that you would dwell in his presence. That's his heart. So that you would dwell in his presence. Abiding in him, and he in me, seated in a place of beloved identity. That's the intent of Calvary's cross. So that we would dwell in his presence. I've always known that I've had her heart because she's always said, when in a pure place, she's always said, I don't care what we do, and I don't care what we have as long as I'm with you. She's made that statement we've been together 38 years now, and she's been saying that for 38 years. I don't care if we abound, I don't care if we're in a strait. I don't care if it's glorious. I don't care if it's roughing it. I was just as happy and content as in a 12x56 trailer, which is what we started out in. I lived in a 12x50. That's little 12x56 trailer for 3 years with her. And I promise you, there probably wasn't a happier man on the planet from a marriage standpoint. Now it's got better and better and better. But the intent is, as long as I'm with you. And God's intent and God's heart for you is to simply to dwell with you. That's it. Out of that, you'll change the world. You can't help it. Because I read all of this scripture about how marvelous and how amazing he is. How there is none like him, the supremacy of Christ. And if I am dwelling and abiding in that, that is the ultimate marry up. You know, we say they married up. It elevated and it changed the trajectory. I'm not talking about just looks. I'm just talking about in life. I know a girl, I personally know a girl right now. Years ago, she used to come to this church. She didn't have nothing. Deborah and Courtney gave her a car. She spends New Year's with the Trumps now. No lie. She married up. She flies all over the world in a private jet because she married up. But I want to tell you something. I married up way bigger than that. I married up way bigger than that. And it elevated my life and it changed my life. And his intent is to simply to dwell in close proximity with me. That's the purpose of the cross. And Keith, when we win in that, we win in everything. When we win in that place of being seated in that place of beloved identity, being seated in that proximity, in that relationship, restored to the place of innocence, restored to the place that he's talking about in Colossians right here, that's when we win. That's when we win. And that's when the world wins. That's when the world wins. So that you would dwell in his presence. I love this verse. I'm going to read these next two or three verses and I'm done. We're just going to come to the altar and maybe lay around for a while and just wallow in his presence. This next verse says, "And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored." Is that up there? Now there is nothing between you and Father God. That gulf's gone. That great chasm is gone of sin. That lien is gone. It says free and clear. The blood of Jesus did that. So now, he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. So quit seeing you. It is illegal for you to see yourself otherwise if you are a son of Yahweh, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. A lot of y'all look at yourselves through an illegal lens. A lot of you guys, through condemnation, you look at yourself through an illegal lens. It is illegal for you to look at yourself in any other way other than holy, flawless, and restored. I'll go ahead and throw this out there. It's illegal for me to look at anybody else that is in Christ Jesus other than holy, flawless, and restored. Instead of me coming in, it's easy to see dirt with the physical, but when I look in the spiritual, I can look, and the more time I'm around Keith, I can get a bigger list. The more time I'm around Ida, I could get a bigger list of what's wrong with her. And you know what? The same goes for me. You could look at me in the natural, and you could do the same thing. But when you look through at me through the lens of Jesus Christ, through the lens of kingdom, when I look at you as a son of the Most High God, when I look at you as the redeemed bride of Christ, it is illegal for me to look at you in any other way than holy, flawless, and restored. The little teenage girl that I was telling y'all about earlier, that's why my heart felt like that for her. Because all I could do, the only thing that Yahweh would let me do is look at her through his lens. And I didn't look at her and say, "Man, you've been screwing up lately. I just don't feel the same way about you." And you know, and it's kind of... all I could look and see was holy, flawless, and restored. Because I was rightly seeing her the way he saw her. Yes. Paul said you only get those time for podcasts. Paul said you only get those eyes by spending time with him. You know, the word says that how lovely it is for brethren to dwell in unity, and how powerful it is for brethren to dwell in unity in this type setting and all of that stuff. The word talks about that. You know, the way that we do that is caring by looking at each other like that. When I look at her faults and I look at her flaws is when all of a sudden I start getting skewed. And all of a sudden there might be a little wedge starts coming in. I can fix y'all's marriage right now. Y'all want a quick marriage counsel session? Everybody that's married in here? I can fix it right now. Jacob, look at her through the lens of Jesus. And the only thing you'll see, you'll look at Stephanie and you'll be like, she's holy. She's flawless. And she's restored. She's holy. She's flawless. She's restored. She's free and clear. That'll fix every one of your problems. That'll fix your relational problems with your children. And you start looking at them, and you don't say, man, he is screwing up, and he's making poor decisions. I'm not saying you don't father, but when you look at them like this. I had conversations over a cup of coffee last week, but it was through that lens. It's through that lens. All right, verse 23, and we're finished. If indeed you continue to advance in faith, assured of a firm foundation to grow upon, never be shaken from the hope of the gospel you have believed in. And this is the glorious news I preach all over the world. These verses 12 through 25. He said, this is the glorious news. This is the glorious gospel I preach all over the world. I've got one sermon, and that's it. I've heard Bill Johnson say that for 15 years. He said, I've only got one sermon. It's just 80 years long. One sermon, 80 years long. I got one sermon. Jesus Christ crucified and risen again to restore you. And that's the hope of glory. Christ in you. Imputed into you. So that's our good news tonight, guys. That's our good news. And the awesome thing about this is it is available to every person in here. I don't care what you've done, and it doesn't matter what I've done. I didn't tell y'all how much I owed on my taxes. And it don't matter. You know why? Because it's free and clear. It could have been $5. It could have been $500,000. But it don't matter. Because it's free and clear. I don't care how big your sin is. It might have been bigger than mine. It might have been smaller than mine. But it doesn't matter. Because under the blood of Jesus, it's free and clear. Because I know a man that was a murderer and an adulterer. And God said, this is a man after my heart. I know a man that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he said, I've been the chiefest of sinners. But Christ in me is the hope of glory. So it doesn't matter how big. Doesn't matter how small. Doesn't matter how many times. Because the blood of Jesus makes it free and clear. Free and clear. And getting back to what Cindy said a while ago. You know, my tax bill could have been $100. And if left unpaid, they would still put a lien on me. For $100. It could have been $5. Left unpaid, they still would have put a lien on me. So it doesn't matter how good you think you are. See, there was a rich young ruler that came to Jesus one time and said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what does the word say? And he began to rattle these things off. And he said, I've done all these from my youth. Jesus said, you're missing one thing. He says, go and sell all that you have and come follow me. And I'll make you whole. I'll make you new. I'll make you clean. Your debt may only be $5, but there's still a lien on your life. So I want to tell everybody in here, you're in one of two places. There's only two places. There's no in between. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. You're two places. Either you have a lien on you or you're free and clear. That's it. That's it. You either have a lien on you or you're free and clear. That's it. And tonight, we're going to get all evangelical tonight. I want you to honestly look in your life. Honestly look in your life. And ask yourself, which one of those places am I in? Which one of those places am I in? Because you're in one of the two. No middle ground. No middle ground. And if you're in the free and clear, the enemy cannot take that away from you. He can't take it away from you. But if you've got a lien on your life, the lifetime of good works will not take that lien off. There's only one thing that'll take it off. Is the debt has to be paid. And here's the good news. You don't have to pay the debt. Somebody does, but you don't. You know who paid it? Jesus. Jesus paid it. Jesus paid it. That's the good news. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I say, man, we'll just sing hymns tonight. That's pretty good. Some of them are good. Some of them are good. Some of them's impoverished, but some of them's good. So I want everybody in here to do an honest assessment. If you're free and clear, let's live in it, Jacob. And if you're not, let's get free and clear. Okay? I love you guys too much for y'all not to live free and clear. But even greater than that, Jesus loves you too much for you not to live free and clear. Father God loves you too much for you not to live free and clear. So man, let's just stand to our feet and let's, Cindy, if you'll get some low worship music going. If you are free and clear tonight, then come down here and man, take communion and celebrate that and just be thankful to the Lord. Just fall on your face for Him. Be thankful to Him. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. But if you're not free and clear, if there's a lien and you know it, then ask Him. Ask Him. Ask Him to make you free and clear. And He will. I promise you, He will. Father, we thank You for tonight. Holy Spirit, I thank You for Your sweet presence. You are so good tonight. You are so tangible tonight. You're just lavishing us with the love of the Father. And I thank You for that. And I thank You for the good news of the gospel. A lot of times we try to get so fancy and think we've got to have all of these other life help lessons. But the beautiful simplicity of the gospel is that the blood of Jesus washes away everything and makes all things new. And tonight we celebrate that. And if there are women or men in here tonight that need to get free and clear, I pray that they would just have the faith to reach out and say yes to You and receive You. And if there are people in here tonight that have forgotten about what You've done in their life, I pray that they would come back to that bedrock. that cornerstone of the fact that I'm redeemed. I'm holy because you made me that way. And Lord, we love you. We exalt you. We thank you for Jesus. Jesus, I adore you. You are more than enough. And we give our lives to you. And we put our hope in you. We put our trust in you. And we crawl up in a place of rest in you. In your beautiful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead.